The following program is for entertainment purposes only. Betting involves financial risk and is not suitable for everyone. Always bet responsibly and never wager more than you can afford to lose.
Welcome to Let's Take the Man's Money with Gio on CKDJ 107.9, your go-to source for NFL betting insights, odds, and expert picks. Whether you're chasing that perfect parlay or looking for the latest line movement, Gio has the strategies and stats to help you beat the book. Get your playbook ready. It's Sunday morning, and it's time to take the man's money.
And welcome back, everyone, to week 18 of Let's Take the Man's Money, our final show of the season. My name is Gio, along with my producer, Romano DeFranco. We are very pleased you could be here with us one more time. We won't be doing shows in the playoffs because there are only six games in Wild Card Week, and two of them are on Saturday, leaving us only four games to talk about. And then in Division Week, there are only four games with two of them falling on the Saturday. So this will be it, but still a chance, one more chance, to take the man's money. Now, Week 18 certainly presents some challenges with many playoff spots all wrapped up and a lot of teams already eliminated. There are only a few games left with important playoff implications, so it can be a bit of a crapshoot. There are a few players that are in position for some bonus money, so we'll look at a few games where they may actually impact the outcome, so we'll see if we can pick our spots. As for last week, mostly good, mostly. Well, you'll find out. Romano, why don't you roll the tape, if you please, sir? Take the Dallas Cowboys plus 7.5 over the Philadelphia Eagles. And take over 38.5. Take the Buffalo Bills minus 9.5 over the New York Jets. And take over 46.5. Take the Las Vegas Raiders minus 1.5 over the New Orleans Saints. And take under 37.5. Take the Indianapolis Colts minus 7.5 over the New York Giants and take over 40.5. Take the Carolina Panthers plus 8 over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and take over 48.5. So take the Jacksonville Jaguars minus 1 over the Tennessee Titans and take under 39.5. Take the Miami Dolphins minus 3 over the Cleveland Browns and take under total of 35.5. Take the Minnesota Vikings minus 1.5 over the Green Bay Packers and take over 48.5. Take the Washington Commanders minus 3.5 over the Atlanta Falcons and take under 46.5. Homer that I am, I'm cheering for my Minnesota Vikings. So right now, let's take the Detroit Lions minus 3.5 over the San Francisco 49ers and take over 50.5. You know what, we're running out of time. So, you know, for my Let's Take the Man's Money parlay play, I'll take Indy minus 7.5 over the Giants, Carolina plus 8 over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Washington minus 3.5 over the Atlanta Falcons. A $25 bet gets us $182.30. We'll change it up a little bit for our three-game six-point teaser. Let's tease the Cowboys up to plus 13.5 over Philly. We'll tease Carolina up to 14 over Tampa Bay. And we'll tease Washington down and make them 2.5-point favorites over Atlanta. A $25 bet will get us $62.50. So the good news is we went 7-3 against the spread and 9-1 with our over-under plays. Pretty outstanding. The bad news is we missed our parlay and teaser play because we went 0-3 with our top picks before running the table. Let's do a quick recap. Our first game we looked at was the Indianapolis Colts minus 7.5 over the New York Giants. The Giants actually not only covered the game, they won outright 45-33. Not only did the Giants have nothing to play for, but they had the number one pick in next year's draft locked up with a loss. The Giants hadn't won all year at home, and they had really struggled to score touchdowns in New York. They only found the end zone 10 times all year in 8 previous home games, so with nothing to gain, they scored 6 touchdowns to beat the Colts straight up. As for Indy, They needed to at least win to stay in the playoff race. Forget about covering, but win the game. But no, Indy had started the season so well against the spread. Now they're only 9-7. They really collapsed down the stretch. So no good there. Our second game, we had the Carolina Panthers +8 over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Ooh, the Buccaneers stomped all over Carolina, 48-14. Were we wrong? You know, Baker Mayfield, the quarterback for Tampa Bay, deserves a little bit of respect when it comes to the MVP voting. And I know Joe Burrow from Cincinnati, Josh Allen from Buffalo, and Lamar Jackson from the Ravens are, you know, ahead of him in the MVP race. And maybe Saquon Barkley, the running back for Philadelphia. But, you know, Baker Mayfield deserves some love. So we missed that one there, 48-14. And the third game we got wrong was the Dallas Cowboys +7.5 over the Philadelphia Eagles. Ooh, the Eagles beat the Cowboys 41-7. Should have known that was not going to happen when the Eagles scored on a pick six on Dallas's opening possession. The Cowboys did score on possession number two, but after that, it was all Philadelphia as the Eagles scored the final 34 points. Eagles starting quarterback Jalen Hurts was out, so Kenny Pickett and then Tanner McKee combined to go only 13-19 and still rout the hapless Cowboys. That's how much Dallas stunk last week. But the rest of the games we cashed. We had the Jacksonville Jaguars -1 over Tennessee, who simply can't cover. Two covers all week. My goodness, I've never seen that. It was gold just to bet against them. Just absolute gold. And they beat the Titans 20-13. We had Miami -3 over the Cleveland Browns. Tyler Huntley was in at quarterback for Tua. I can't even remember the scrub's name for Cleveland. And that was 20-3. Easy one there. We had Washington -4.5 over the Cleveland Browns. It actually took overtime, but Washington did do it. So we got that one correct. They won 30-24 in overtime. We had two over-unders last week. We had the Panthers-Bucks game, which we just talked about. We had over 48.5. The score was 48-14. Wow, the Bucks almost did it by themselves, so pretty easy over. And we had the Green Bay Packers-Minnesota Vikings game over 48.5. That score was 27-25, so good there. So three wrong, but then the other five right with the top picks. And the rest of the games, we had Buffalo -9.5 over the Jets. Wow, the Jets, who I picked at the beginning of the year to possibly represent the AFC in the Super Bowl, what a garbage team. Aaron Rodgers was actually pulled late in the, well, I guess midway through the fourth quarter with the Jets losing 40-0. They ended up losing 40-14, so easy cover for the Bills. We had the Las Vegas Raiders -1.5 over the Saints. They beat them 25-10. Ooh, you know you're bad when you lose by 15 points at home to the Raiders. I was brave and I took my Minnesota Vikings -1.5 over the Green Bay Packers. The score was 27-25, so they only covered by half a point, but you know what? That game was never in doubt. Minnesota took their foot off the gas, and the score was closer than it should have been. Pretty easy cover, actually. And you know what? We took Detroit Lions -3.5 over San Francisco on the Monday night game, and that was -3.5, yes. And they beat the Niners 40-34. As for my over-under plays, you know, I don't normally gloat over them, but that's back-to-back weeks where we killed the total. So very happy about that. We mentioned how the Giants, who had the number one pick locked up, won their game last week. You know, now they're number fourth overall. Heading into week 18, this is the current draft order. Number one now are New England Patriots. At number two is Tennessee Titans, Cleveland Browns, and then the New York Giants. They're all 3-13. 3-13. And the rest of the teams are 4-12. At number five, picking as if the season were to end right now, Jacksonville Jaguars. At number six, Carolina Panthers. Number seven, New York Jets. Number eight, Las Vegas Raiders. And number nine, the Chicago Bears. Now, Shedeur Sanders from Colorado and Cameron Ward from Miami are the only two quarterbacks probably going to go in the top 10. At number one, the New England Patriots have the first pick overall. They already have Drake May, so I don't think they'll be going for a quarterback. So, we'll see. That's why I'm surprised that the Giants tanked, because they had a shot at one of these two guys. They remember they cut Daniel Jones earlier in the year, former first-round pick. So anyways, so we'll look at which teams are actually eliminated going into Week 18. In the AFC, that would be the Indianapolis Colts, New York Jets, Las Vegas Raiders, Cleveland Browns, Tennessee Titans, and the New England Patriots. Fighting for the last spot are the Denver Broncos and Miami Dolphins. Denver is 9-7, while the Dolphins are 8-8. A win for the Broncos, and they make it to the postseason. Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore, and Houston clinched their divisions and are ranked 1, 2, 3, 4, respectively. It's a little clearer in the NFC, where the Seattle Seahawks, Dallas Cowboys, Arizona Cardinals, San Francisco 49ers, New Orleans Saints, Chicago Bears, Carolina Panthers, and New York Giants are all eliminated. A Tampa Bay Buccaneers win at home over the Saints, or an Atlanta loss at home to the Carolina Panthers would give the Bucs the NFC South division. If the Bucs lose and the Falcons win, then Atlanta grabs the division title and the fourth seed. The Philadelphia Eagles have clinched the NFC East and the second seed, no matter what happens. And the Los Angeles Rams, who have clinched the NFC West division, can clinch the number three seed overall with a win or a tie against the Seahawks, or a Bucs tie or a loss to the Atlanta Falcons. If the Rams lose and the Bucs win, then they drop to the number four seed. If the Washington Commanders beat the Dallas Cowboys, they lock up the sixth seed and Green Bay finishes seventh. But if they lose and the Packers beat the Chicago Bears, then they drop down to the seventh seed. What's really at stake is the Vikings-Lions game. The winner clinches not only the NFC North, but the top seed in the NFC and a bye in the first week. The loser, who will end up with a 14-3 record, drops to the fifth seed and a road game in wild card week. How unfair is that? Those two teams battled it out on Sunday Night Football. What an epic game to finish out the regular season. Okay, two games have already been played. Cleveland at Baltimore and Cincinnati at Pittsburgh are already in the books. We'll see how those games impact the ones being played today. Wow, the AFC gets the bonus day of rest. AFC North, with all four of their teams playing yesterday. Seems like a scheduling quirk to me. Oh, well. So only 14 games to talk about, and when we come back, we'll get right at it. You're listening to Let's Take the Man's Money on CKDJ. I am Gio. See you after the quick break.
We now return to Let's Take the Man's Money with Gio on CKDJ 107.9.
And we're back with Let's Take the Man's Money on CKDJ. I am Gio. Our first game has the Carolina Panthers going to Atlanta. The Falcons are 7.5-point favorites at home. The total in this game is 47.5. Oh, the Panthers struggled big time on defense. They gave up a staggering 551 yards and 5 passing touchdowns to Tampa Bay. Now they face a Falcons team that steamrolled them earlier this season with 423 total yards, including 198 on the ground. Carolina's inability to stop the run is a glaring issue, and Atlanta will surely try to exploit that again. For Atlanta, all eyes are on rookie quarterback Michael Penix, making his third career start. He's been very good so far, with a win and an overtime loss. Kind of unlucky there. Had his field goal kicker made the field goal with seconds left, he would have been 2-0. Anyways, a win will give the Falcons a boost heading into a potential playoff spot, or at least good momentum for next season. The disastrous Kirk Cousins experiment is over, and looks like Atlanta has their quarterback for the future with Penix. As for the Panthers, Bryce Young is yet to win a road game in his career. He's 0-12. He has an 0-12 record. I'm just looking at my notes. Yeah, 0-12 record on the road. Atlanta can clinch the NFC South title with a win and a Buccaneers loss to the Saints. Falcons running back Bijan Robinson could have a big game. The Panthers allow the most fantasy points to running backs. I know fantasy is over now, but all through the year they have had, they've allowed the most fantasy points to the backs. And Robinson's been on fire recently, tallying 20 plus touches in 5 straight games. So consider him on a prop bet, at least. The NFC South games have been high-scoring affairs, with the over hitting in 9 of 10 matchups this season. That includes a perfect 5-0 record in Panthers games. So my prediction, the score of this game, the Falcons 30, the Panthers 20. So take the Atlanta Falcons minus 7.5 over the Carolina Panthers and take over 47.5. Our next game up has the 11-5 Washington Commanders going to Dallas, where the Cowboys, who are 7-9, are actually 6-point dogs at home. The total in this game is 44.5. This game has playoff implications for Washington and potential experimentation for Dallas. The Commanders rookie quarterback Jaden Daniels has been on fire since their first meeting, where Dallas held them to just 81 yards and an interception through 3 quarters. Since then, Daniels has thrown 13 touchdowns with only 4 interceptions and racked up over 200 rushing yards in its last 2 games. Dallas might shake things up at quarterback. Trey Lance could make his first start as a Cowboy, which would be just the 5th start of his career. Cooper Rush has been holding down the fort, but this is a chance for Dallas to evaluate what Lance can bring to the table. Unfortunately, the Cowboys' home woes continue. They're on track to post one of the worst home point differentials in team history. The Cowboys have a league-worst minus 116 margin at home this season. A 9-point loss would tie their franchise record for the worst home point margin ever. The Commanders can control their destiny for the number 6 seed in the NFC. A win or a Packers loss to the Bears locks it up for them. Daniels is making a late push for Offensive Rookie of the Year and faces a Dallas defense that's given up the second most fantasy points to quarterbacks. This marks the first time Washington has been a road favorite in Dallas since 2017. They haven't been favored by at least a field goal at AT&T Stadium since 2000. I'll predict the score in this game. How about Washington 24, Dallas 16? So take the Washington Commanders minus 6 over the Dallas Cowboys and take under 44.5. Our next game has the 4-12 Chicago Bears going to Lambeau Field, where the Packers are 11-5 at home. Green Bay are 10-point favorites in this game. The total is 41.5. This NFC North matchup is all about contrasting trajectories, you might say. The Bears are just trying to wrap up a difficult season, while the Packers have a chance to improve their seed in the playoffs. For Chicago, rookie quarterback Caleb Williams is nearing an unfortunate milestone. He's been sacked 67 times, just 9 shy of David Carr's rookie record of 76 in 2002. I don't think he'll be sacked that many times to break it, but just to show you how many times he has been sacked, he is facing a Green Bay defense that ranks 7th in sacks with 44, so it could be a long day for Williams. On the Packers side, Matt LaFleur coaches his 100th regular season game with an impressive 67-32 record. Even more impressive, he's a perfect 11-0 against the Bears, tied for the longest win streak by a coach against a division opponent to start a career since 1970. The Packers will look to lean on their ground game, where Josh Jacobs is chasing history with 7 straight games featuring a rushing touchdown, tied for the franchise record. Jacobs is just 1 touchdown shy of setting Green Bay's all-time record for consecutive games with a rushing score, is what I'm trying to say. The Bears are projected to pick him 9th in the they're projected to pick 9th in the 2025 draft. I'm looking at my notes. So this game is more about avoiding injuries and building experience. I mean, boy, the Bears just had a disastrous run there. They've lost, 10 games in a row, 12 games? I can't even remember now. Packers defensive end Tucker Kraft could have a good day, as the Bears struggled to defend tight ends. Consider him on a prop bet. The Bears give up the 6th most receiving yards at that position. Chicago's winless on the road this season, 0-7 straight up, 2-5 against the spread. They've lost 10 straight games. Looking at my notes, 10. Additionally, 6 of their 7 road games have hit the under. So the prediction for this score, let's say Green Bay 27, Chicago 13. Take the Green Bay Packers minus 10 over the Chicago Bears and take under 41.5. Our next game up has the Houston Texans, who are 7-9, going to Tennessee, where the Titans are 3-13. The Titans are actually 2-point favorites in this game. Like as I mentioned, they've only covered the spread twice, so already I hear an alarm bell. The total in this game is 36.5. This game should be more about draft positioning than anything else. The Texans have locked up the AFC's number 4 playoff seed, but head coach D'Amico Ryans has stated that starters will play. The big question is for how long. Meanwhile, the Titans are evaluating quarterbacks Mason Rudolph and Will Levis in a season finale that might be more about future planning than the present. I think Tennessee wants to move on to a new quarterback, so I have a feeling they're going to tank in this game. It's a clear dilemma for Tennessee. A win could drop them as low as 7th in the draft order, and I just can't see them doing that. Running back Tony Pollard, however, has personal motivation. He's chasing performance bonuses that could add up to $450,000, I believe it is, with a strong showing. If I were the team, I'd say, take the day off, we'll give you the bonus. Let's not win this game. Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud is just one touchdown pass away from joining a pretty elite group of quarterbacks who posted 3,500 passing yards and 20 touchdowns in each of their first two seasons. So maybe Stroud wants to play well in this game. What's at stake? Yeah, the Titans, they have a slim 11.9% chance to secure the number 1 overall pick in the draft. I think they'll be fine where they are. They'll need a loss for they'll need to lose, and the Patriots win over Buffalo to get them to the number 1 spot. But neither Rudolph or Levis look like the future NFL starters, and with only 2 quarterbacks potentially getting picked in the first round in next year's draft, I think the Titans continue to tank. Running back Tony Pollard has already surpassed 1,000 rushing yards, and like I said, his financial incentives might push him to, what I'm saying is, if they give him the money ahead of time and just say, look, you've already got 1,000 yards, here's your bonus money, take the day off, I think it would be better. Hey, look, the Titans are 2-14 against the spread this season, and 0-7 against the spread at home. Why change anything? I know the Texans are probably the weakest team in the playoffs right now, but I still think they're going to win and cover. They should win the game 18-13. So take the Houston Texans plus 2 over the Tennessee Titans and take under 36.5. Our next game up has the 4-12 Jacksonville Jaguars going to Indianapolis, where the Colts are 7-9. Indy are 5-point favorites in this game. The total is 43.5. A couple of Jaguars are chasing individual milestones. The defense boasts 2 standout edge rushers in Trayvon Walker and Josh Hines-Allen, and both are looking to join an elite club of Jaguars players with back-to-back 10 sack seasons, so there's that. Meanwhile, on offense, Brian Thomas Jr. is chasing the team's single-season touchdown reception record. For the Colts, it's all about Jonathan Taylor, who's ending the season on a high note. He's averaged 136.5 rushing yards over the past 4 games and has a history of putting up big numbers in season finales. 2 of his 3 best career performances have actually come in week 18, maybe because the other teams just aren't trying. The Jaguars have dominated this matchup against the spread, going 15-3-1 ATS against the Colts over the past decade. Jacksonville enters the game with a 60% chance of landing a top 5 draft pick. So keep that in mind. A fantasy X factor, with Joe Flacco at quarterback, Colts wide receiver Michael Pittman Jr. could have himself a big day. Maybe not so much in fantasy, but if you want to consider him on a prop bet, Pittman exploded for 25.9 fantasy points last week in championship week and faces a Jaguars secondary that's struggled to stop wideouts all year. Jacksonville isn't they're not necessarily looking to draft a quarterback next year, so any player in the top 10 should be fine, and that should give them some motivation. That loss last week to the lowly Giants killed Indy's chances at the playoffs, so I question how motivated they will be today. Their ATS record in the second half of the season has been abysmal. I think the Jags win this game straight up, so you might take them against the spread and maybe sprinkle a little bit of money on the money line itself. My prediction, Jaguars 23, Colts 20. So take the Jacksonville Jaguars +5 over the Indianapolis Colts and take under 43.5. Next game up, we've got the 13-3 Buffalo Bills going to New England, where the Patriots are 3-13, the exact opposite record. Buffalo are only 2.5-point favorites in this game. The total is 38.5. Well, the Bills head into this AFC East clash, if you want to call it, locked into the number 2 seed. So expect the mix of starters and backups. Quarterback Josh Allen will start to keep his streak of 104 consecutive games alive before Mitchell Trubisky takes over. Good old Mitchell. Coach Sean McDermott's primary focus is winning while keeping the team healthy for the postseason. The Patriots, on the other hand, are playing their rookie quarterback Drake May, with Coach Gerard Mayo insisting they're playing to win. However, a loss, as we all know, would secure the number one pick in the 2025 draft, while a win would shuffle that draft order. I can't even imagine which order they would be in if they did win. It would leave New England with a less favorable position. You know, even if they don't want to draft through, they're going to take at number one, trade down, get another pick or two, get some more draft capital. That's the way to do it. They will lose this game. There's no way they can screw up the number one pick in next year's draft, at least in my personal opinion. You know, the Bills have scored 30-plus points in 12 games this season, tying for the second most in the NFL history. Josh Allen is not playing, though. Bills rookie running back, Ray Davis is poised for a significant role against the Patriots defense that's allowed the third most rushing yards to running backs this year. Overs are 6-1 in Patriot home games this season and 7-1 in the Bills' last 8 games. Again, Josh Allen not playing. Patriots have a 78% chance of landing the number one overall pick, but a win, yeah, would complicate that draft order. You know, the question is how far do they want to fall down the draft board, you know, with only 2 quarterbacks available? They want the wide receiver cornerback Travis Hunter. He's sort of a slash player. He played both sides of the field. In case you don't know, Travis Hunter looks like he's the number one guy, and they could still get him at 3 or 4. So, you know, it's hard to say. But what if they fall down to 5th or 6th? They may miss out on that guy. You know what? Just keep it simple. Lose the game. You know, Mitchell Trubisky has a chance to take out his frustrations here. He's had a kind of a rocky career. I think Buffalo does enough to beat a New England team that may not want to win. But I will not make it to the window with this bet. I still think the Bills win. So Buffalo 27, New England 17. Take the Bills -2.5. over the New England Patriots, and take over 38.5. We've got the 3-13 New York Giants going to Philadelphia, where the Eagles are 13-3. Again, the reverse record, just like the last game. Philadelphia are 3-point favorites in this game. The total is 37.5. Well, the Giants aim to close the season strong, but risk falling in draft order with a win. I mean, they have already done that from last year's stupid win. Despite this, Coach Brian Daboll insists the focus is solely on the Eagles. He might be saying that because he's trying to keep his job. I think he's out after the second this game is over. I think he's fired anyways. He would do the team a complete disservice by trying to win. Rookie wide receiver Malik Nabers is close to history too, needing just 3 receptions to claim second place on the all-time rookie receptions list. The Eagles, with the number 2 seed in the NFC secured, will rescue players, including Saquon Barkley, who was chasing the all-time record for running backs. Yeah, he misses a chance to break Eric Dickerson's single-season rushing record. Prioritizing health for a deep playoff run, I think, is the wise play here. So good for the Eagles for doing the prudent thing. Maybe Barkley will have incentive to do it next year. What's at stake? You know, the Giants have an 87.4 chance for a top 5 draft pick, but only 0.08 chance to pick number 1, which they buggered up with that needless win last week. With Barkley sitting out, Eagles running back Kenneth Gainwell should see increased opportunities against a Giants defense allowing the second most rushing yards per game. A little betting nugget for you. The Giants are 2-9 against the spread in their last 11 games and winless against the spread in their last 4 road games. I think New York just wanted to avoid being the first team in NFL history to go 0-9 at home last week with that win. And they probably used up all their touchdowns that they had left this season, scoring, 6 last week? My prediction in this game, Eagles 27, Giants 6. So take the Philadelphia Eagles -3 over the New York Giants and take under 37.5. We've got the 5-11 New Orleans Saints going to Tampa Bay, where the Bucs are 9-7. Tampa Bay are 13.5-point favorites at home. The total in this game is 43.5. In a game with emotional weight, the Saints look to uplift their community following the tragic incident in New Orleans earlier this week. Maybe try to give their fans a win here. Injuries to key players like Alvin Kamara, Derek Carr, wide receiver Chris Olave leave that chance, though, in doubt. But this team is determined to end the season on a high note. For the Buccaneers, wide receiver Mike Evans is on the verge of tying Jerry Rice's record for consecutive 1,000-yard seasons. Evans needs just 85 yards to get the 1,000 that he needs to, for an incentive bonus. He's hit the mark against the Saints only 3 times in his career for some odd reason. What was that good cornerback that the Saints had? Lattimore? Maybe that's why he never did well against them. Well, Lattimore is long gone. A win or tie secures the NFC South for Tampa Bay. The Saints have been held to under 20 points in 5 consecutive games. Another sub-20-point game would set a single-season franchise record for what that's worth. The Bucs can clinch the NFC South with a win or a tie, or a Falcons loss or tie against Carolina. I think the Falcons will be trying hard in that game, although Carolina would certainly like to play spoilers. A fantasy X factor are all the financial incentives in this game. Quarterback Baker Mayfield gets a $500,000 bonus if he finishes in the top 10 in yards per attempt. He's currently 7th. And wide receiver Mike Evans, we just talked about it. Well, he needs 5 catches and those 85 yards for a $3 million bonus. And for New Orleans, wide receiver Marquez Valdes-Scantling needs just 1 touchdown catch for a $250,000 bonus himself. So I expect there will be a lot of scoring, at least in the first half of this game. If the Bucs pull away, they may rest Mayfield and Evans, but not until they hit those bonuses. The Saints are 0-5 against the spread in their last 5 road games and 1-7 against the spread against teams with winning records this season. My prediction for this game, Tampa Bay Buccaneers 28, New Orleans 10. So take the Tampa Bay Buccaneers -13.5 over the New Orleans Saints and take under 43.5. Okay, when we come back, we'll hit the rest of the games. We'll do it really quickly because we're only going to be doing 1 hour. You're listening to Let's Take the Man's Money on CKDJ. I am Gio. We'll be right back.
We now return to Let's Take the Man's Money with Gio on CKDJ 107.9.
And we're back, everyone, to Let's Take the Man's Money on CKGJ. I am Gio. Thanks for tuning in. Next game we're going to look at has the 15-1 Kansas City Chiefs going to Denver, where the Broncos are 9-7. The Broncos are 10.5-point favorites in this game. The total is 40.5. The Chiefs, with the AFC's number one seed secured, will start Carson Wentz at quarterback, resting most of their key players. Coach Andy Reid has a track record of keeping games competitive, even with backups, as shown last year when Kansas City beat the Chargers in a similar situation. I remember that game well because I had the Chargers. The Broncos, however, have everything to play for, needing a win to solidify their postseason hopes. Their defense, ranked 5th in points allowed and leading the league in sacks, could make life tough for the Chiefs' backups. The Chiefs haven't scored more than 30 points in a game this season, a rarity for a team with the league's best record. The Broncos can clinch a playoff spot with a win, tie, or help from losses to the Bengals, who already played, and the Dolphins. The a fantasy factor here, I think, is going to be quarterback Bo Nix of Denver. With 20-plus fantasy points in his last two games, and I realize fantasy's over, but he's still been racking up the points, he could exploit a Chiefs defense likely featuring backups. Denver's 7-0 against the spread as favorites this season. No team in the Super Bowl era has gone 8-0 ATS in such situations. My prediction is going to be a little bit of a closer game. I like Denver 24, Kansas City minus 19. So take the Kansas City Chiefs plus 10.5 over the Denver Broncos and take over 40.5. Next game up, we've got the 10-6 Los Angeles Chargers going to Las Vegas, where the Raiders are 4-12. The Chargers are 4-point favorites in this game. The total is 41.5. The Chargers' playoff seeding hinged on the Steelers' result. With a Pittsburgh loss, it makes this game less critical. But Coach Jim Harbaugh still values finishing strong, stating, quote, 11 wins sounds better than 10, end of quote. That is such a Harbaugh thing to say. The Raiders are looking to avoid a winless record in the AFC West for the first time since 2006. A victory would also mark a 3-game winning streak to end the season, a moral boost after a 10-game losing streak. Rookie tight end Brock Bowers is chasing history, needing 9 catches to set the single-season record for receptions by a tight end with 116. The Chargers have a 26% chance of earning the number 5 seed, which requires a win and a Steelers loss. Something you might want to look at, Chargers running back J.K. Dobbins has excelled against this defense. Well, he did so in week 1, and he could shine again here, especially if the starters are rested. Dobbins needs just 68 yards, and $150,000 bonus will kick in. Again, lots of bonuses to consider for handicapping the games today. Raiders quarterback Aiden O'Connell is actually 13-3 against the spread in his career, tied for the second best start in the Super Bowl era. Vegas is actually on a 2-game winning streak and have dropped to number 8 in the draft. So they're trying. You know, they don't have much reason to lose here. They've already dropped enough. I think they compete here. I know it's week 18, but they are a home division dog. So I do believe the Chargers will win, but it'll be close. Chargers 26, Raiders 23. So take the Las Vegas Raiders plus 4 over the Los Angeles Chargers and take over 41.5. Our next game up has the 9-7 Seattle Seahawks going to Los Angeles, where the Rams are 10-6. Seattle is actually 6.5-point favorites in this game. The total is 38.5. Though eliminated from the playoffs, the Seahawks will still have something to play for. Geno Smith's $6 million in contract incentives, including $2 million if he gets 186 passing yards, and another $2 million if Seattle gets 10 wins this season. So there is plenty of motivation, both for him and his teammates, who he'll probably throw some money to, so I think they'll try. The Rams, having secured the NFC West, will rest starters like Matthew Stafford, giving Jimmy Garoppolo the start. Garoppolo sees this as a chance to showcase his value for a potential starting gig next season. Hey, you know, Gino took the same road in his career, and he's doing great now, so why not? The Rams can lock up the number three seed in the NFC with a win, tie, or a Buccaneers loss. Rams running back Blake Corum is set for a significant role with the starters resting against a pretty middling Seahawks defense, so consider him on a props bet. The Seahawks are 0-6 against the spread against teams with winning records this season. I think the score will be Seattle 23, Los Angeles Rams 17. So take the Rams plus 6.5 over Seattle and take over 38.5. I think the Rams will cover by that hook. Our next game up has the 8-8 Miami Dolphins going to New York, where the Jets are 4-12. Oh, and the miserable Jets. What a terrible year they had. Miami is actually 1-point favorites in this game. The total is, looking now, 38.5. Dolphins playoff hopes are alive, but require a win and help from the Broncos. They need Denver to lose. With Tua out, Tyler Huntley gets the start. Remember, Huntley started last week against the scrub who I can't remember his name. He showed promise last week, gaining a better grasp of Miami's complex offense. Remember, he played earlier in the year and, oh, stunk. That's all I can say, he stunk. But it looks like he has a better grasp of now of the offense now. The Jets were eliminated weeks ago. You know, they may be playing their final game with Aaron Rodgers, who needs just one touchdown pass to become the fifth player in NFL history to reach 500. Rodgers was terrible last week, getting pulled when the Jets were down 40-0 midway through the fourth quarter. And that tells me that the players have tuned him out. It doesn't matter that the Jets can knock out a division rival here. I think they hate Rodgers even more. Jets receiver Garrett Wilson needs 3 catches to become the second player in franchise history with 100 receptions in a season. That's hard to believe. All those years the Jets have been around and he'd only be the second player with 100 receptions. I can see him dropping a couple of passes just to spite Rodgers. Maybe Rodgers does get his 500th career touchdown pass, possibly to longtime partner Davante Adams. If Rodgers gets pulled again for Tyler Conklin, I don't see the rest of the team rallying for him like they did last week. Remember, they got 14 points in 7 minutes or so, but I don't see that happening twice in a row. Dolphins road games have gone under 7 of 8 matchups this season, and with 2 mediocre quarterbacks playing, I don't see anything different happening here. I'll predict the score: Miami 20, New York Jets 17. Take the Miami Dolphins -1 over the New York Jets and take under 38.5. Our next game up has the 6-10 San Francisco 49ers at the 7-9 Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals are 4.5-point favorites in this game. The total is 42.5. Can't say either team is very thrilled with their season. The Niners were the defending NFC champions, but got bit by the Super Bowl hangover. The Cardinals were hoping to sneak into the playoffs, but fell short. However, Arizona lost to some really good teams this year and had just one really bad loss against, I think it was the Panthers. But the rest of their games, they actually lost to good teams. Rookie wide receiver Marvin Harrison Jr. was never really in the mix for Offensive Rookie of the Year, but he needs just 15 yards to surpass his Hall of Fame father, Marvin Harrison Sr.'s rookie receiving yards total, so there's that. 49ers tight end George Kittle is chasing history, aiming for 100-plus receiving yards in 3 straight games, a feat last achieved by a 49er in 1995. Some guy named Jerry Rice did that. Cardinals running back Michael Carter could have a big day. With Arizona's top 2 running backs sidelined, Carter is set to lead the backfield against a 49ers defense that allowed the 5th most fantasy points to running backs this year. So consider Michael Carter on a props bet. The Cardinals have covered in 5 straight games as underdogs, and the Niners are coming off the Monday Night Football game where they led late in the 3rd quarter before falling to the Lions. I think they come out flat here. Let me predict the score. Arizona 24, San Francisco 17. Take the Arizona Cardinals -4.5 over the San Francisco 49ers and take under 42.5. And finally, on Sunday Night Football, whoo, the game of the year, my 14-2 Minnesota Vikings go to Detroit. The Lions are also 14-2. Detroit are 3-point favorites in this match. The total is a whopping 56.5. This NFC showdown is a high, but it's as high stakes as it gets, with the winner securing the number one seed and home field advantage throughout the playoffs. The Vikings, the NFL's oldest team by snap-weighted age, could greatly benefit from a first-round bye. I mean, they're a little bit older than Detroit and I guess everybody else. But they'll need to clean up their play, as turnovers have been their Achilles heel in prior matchups against the Lions, a team they once owned a few years back. But the tide has turned recently, including a week six loss. Week six, Romano? Yeah, week six to the Lions at home. For Detroit, this game is about taking another step forward and seizing the opportunity to make the road to the Super Bowl go through Ford Field. Remember that San Francisco hosted last year's NFC Championship game, and Detroit fell just short, so they really want to be hosting. Lions running back Jahmyr Gibbs has posted 100-plus rushing yards in two consecutive games. A third would be the longest streak by a Detroit player since that Barry Sanders guy, who had a five-game streak back in 98, I think it was. While the winner gets home field advantage all through the playoffs, plus the bye. So everything is at stake here. The Vikings have covered four straight games and are tied for, I think they've got the best record against the spread at 12-4. But you know what? Detroit's right up there too with 11-5. The Lions are more battle-tested, having gone to the NFC Championship game last year, as I mentioned. But the Vikings as a team are more experienced. The Vikings lost Pro Bowl left tackle Christian Darrisaw a while back, but are mostly healthy. Unlike the Lions, who have lost a lot more quality starters, including Pro Bowl defensive end Aiden Hutchinson and a few more. Plus, the Lions are coming off that Monday Night Football game where they were pushed right to the end just to fend off a desperate Niners team. The Vikings, meanwhile, manhandled a tough Green Bay Packers squad. And although the score was close at the end, the game wasn't really that close, as Minnesota eased up at the end. The Vikings are currently on a 9-game winning streak. They are the hottest team in the NFL. I'm going with my Vikings here. I'm predicting the score Minnesota 33, Detroit 30. Take the Minnesota Vikings +3 over the Detroit Lions and take over 56.5. All right. That wraps up the Week 18 picks for the regular season. Right now, I'd like to give you my favorite picks, plus the ones I won't quite be making it to the window with. Number one, take the Tampa Bay Buccaneers -13.5 for the Saints. The Saints are down the fourth, fifth stringers, and the Buccaneers can pile on the points. That's my favorite pick of the week. Tampa Bay -13.5. Take the Houston Texans +2 over the Titans. The Titans can't cover, and you're also getting points. So take Houston +2. Take the Buffalo Bills -2.5 over the New England Patriots. I can't see the Patriots jeopardizing the number one pick overall. And number four, take my Minnesota Vikings +3 over the Detroit Lions. I think they'll win that game. At number five, take the Jacksonville Jaguars +5 over the Indianapolis Colts, who have struggled in the second half of the season against the spread. And for the sixth best play, take the Miami Dolphins -1 over the New York Jets. My Let's Take the Man's Parlay play is Tampa Bay -13.5 over New Orleans, the Houston Texans +2 over the Tennessee Titans, and the Buffalo Bills -2.5 over the New England Patriots. A $25 bet will get you $175.65. For my three-game six-point teaser, we'll tease the Houston Texans to +8 over Tennessee. Again, Tennessee never covers. We'll tease the Vikings up to plus 9 over the Detroit Lions, and will tease the Jaguars up to plus 11 over the Indianapolis Colts. A $25 win will get us $65. The rest of my bets, like the Atlanta Falcons minus 7.5 over Carolina Panthers, Washington Commanders minus 6 over the Dallas Cowboys, Green Bay Packers minus 10 over the Chicago Bears, Buffalo Bills minus 2.5 over the New England Patriots, Philadelphia Eagles minus 3 over the New York Giants, Kansas City Chiefs plus 10.5 over the Denver Broncos, Las Vegas Raiders plus 4 over the LA Chargers, the LA Rams plus 6.5 over the Seattle Seahawks, and the Miami Dolphins minus 1 over New York Jets. One more game, the Arizona Cardinals minus 4.5 over the San Francisco 49ers. And that will do it. That'll wrap up the show and wrap up the year. 18 weeks. We've done this from week 1 till week 18. I can't believe how much fun we've had. I'd like to thank all of you for following the show this year and also for following us on X and supporting the show. It really means a lot to us. A big, big shout out to my producer, Romano DeFranco, for putting the show all together from well before the season until now. Thank you, Romano. I'd like to wish everyone good luck this week and also with all the picks in the playoffs. Okay. From the studios of CKDJ, I am Gio. Happy New Year, everyone. And let's take the man's money.
You've been listening to Let's Take the Man's Money with Gio. Tune in every Sunday from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time.